All right. Going with the strong leading. Here we go. Brother Copeland started off with this. We are being required by the Spirit of God. Right? To have understanding of what he was about to share with us. So now we can say it this way. We're being required by the Spirit of God to have understanding of what he shared. You got that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
He's a prophet.
Yes?
We have that consensus in this room. So if the man of God says we are being required by the Spirit of God, that's a heavy statement. I mean, when I was sitting right there, he came up and did, and it was like, whoosh. It was one of those moments. I looked at Tim Fox, who was sitting next to me. I go, did you feel that? I was like, whoo, I felt that. Required by the Spirit to have an understanding. So I had, you know me, I've got to look up definitions of things. The dictionary defined required as this: stipulated as necessary to be done, made or provided. Okay? Necessary to be done, made or provided. Cambridge English Dictionary defines the word this way: to order or demand something. So the Spirit of God is ordering and demanding. To order someone to do something because of a rule or law, to make something necessary. That's the definition of required. So understanding, I said, okay, what's understanding? Defined by Cambridge Dictionary as knowledge about a subject, situation, or how something works. So we're being required by the Spirit of God to have a knowledge of how this works in our life. Okay? So he's speaking primarily in the church age. And this teacher's anointing, which operates well with a pastor's anointing, will always drill down into the concepts and make that prophecy livable, okay? For every single believer. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do. So I feel compelled by the Holy Spirit today to take the word of the prophet and expound on it so you and I can run with it. Will that work? The long way around to get to that, wasn't it? So we know that Jesus did this. We know that others did this. It's critical that the Holy Spirit gave us somebody like the Apostle Paul. It was very critical that we had him. Here's a guy who was trained in the law, trained to be the best of the best. And when he had his conversion moment, then he goes away and the Lord teaches him. And I'll show you those verses in a minute. And he teaches him so that, hey, Doc, can you join me just a second? I just was explaining to them about the role of a teacher and how a prophet had, and I don't know if I got the right person or not, that a prophet, that there was always somebody, a specialist had somebody to teach. And you were telling me some stuff in history. You're the one that encouraged me to stay with my office today.
That's right. Well, in the voice of, you guys have heard the voice of healing, all the meetings that happened with that. Those were started originally by William Branham. And William Branham, as he taught, he used to do the morning services and the evening services. And his crusade director, is what we would call him now, or his road manager, was a guy named Gordon Lindsay.
You know who Gordon Lindsay is?
Christ for the Nation. So Gordon Lindsay, Pastor Greg, was very good at his job. But one time, William Branham started observing him teaching a pastoral class. And anyway, make a long story short, he realized this guy is a much better teacher than I am. So I'm going to stay in my flow to make so in other words, what he did is Gordon Lindsay took the morning services from then on to be able to do the teaching in healing. And then he would, even to the point where he would start in the evenings some and then hand it over to William Branham to do the Holy Spirit part. I mean, it was really, as far back as I can go, there was, of course, you can go back with Father Nash, who was very much, he knew his place was in prayer. Charles Finney's place was in teaching.
Right.
And they understood they had to go together. And to the point that when Nash died, Charles Finney went off the road. He still spoke, but he didn't travel like he did. So it was an understanding of not just the body and my place in the body, but understanding my anointing is not your anointing. Now, let me take Pastor Greg here. Pastor Greg is a great teacher. He flows in the teaching anointing and that calling in a different way than I do. But if I get into my place where I'm trying to be in your calling, mm-hmm. I miss out on what my calling is, and then the body suffers mm-hmm. because they don't get what I'm supposed to bring.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's exactly.
Sorry. I'm trying to teach your class.
That's fine. So, you're doing a great job. But I wanted you to expound on that because this is the responsibility. Thank you, sir. That I feel this morning, and you see it with Jesus. You see it with the revival history, and all of that. That you stay in your lane, and all the streams come together. Brother Copeland talked about specialists. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And every specialist has a doctor that refers, or several doctors that refer to that specialist.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Let me get on with this. All right. Okay. So it was critical that we had the Holy Spirit to give us the Apostle Paul. Now, our time that we live in is called the mystery in Scripture. All right. The church age, or the last days, or the age of grace. There were hints to it in the Old Testament, but it was kept hidden in the heart of the Father for a reason, okay? The mystery that we are in doesn't mean something we don't understand. That's not true, because we live in it, we understand it. But it was a mystery to them. In the Greek, it means something that was kept secret but is now revealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let me show you some verses real quick. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Gene, right before you came in, I reminded them that Brother Hagin had Keith Moore to do that same thing so many times. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. You there? For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, here it is, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There it is again. Which in other ages, now look at this, not in our time, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Okay? So it's not a mystery to us. Is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. He says, for this cause, it's reference to the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, Paul is explaining the church and the people of the church, okay? The church was something that was new. It's a mystery, okay? So that reference is he's talking to the church and believers, partakers of the promise. What promise? The promise given to Abraham in his covenant. It's the blessing, okay? That's a mystery, how that the Gentiles could walk in Abraham's blessing. My goodness, it's quiet in here. That ought to be good news for you. Okay, let me show you where that is. That's Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation, and then we're going to come back to this in Ephesians again. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, from the Passion. For the Scriptures reveal, and it is obvious, that no one achieves the righteousness of God by attempting to keep the law, for it is written, those who have been made holy will live by faith. That's our stream. Yes? But it's all part of one body. Keep going. But keeping the law does not require faith. The law did not require faith. It just required obedience. But self-effort. For the law teaches, if you practice the principles of the law, you must follow all of them. There's no grading on the curve, right? Yet Christ paid for the full price to set us free from the curse. Set us free from the curse. Set us free from the curse. He absorbed it completely, as he had become the curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place, and in so doing, dissolved the curse from our lives, so that the blessing of Abraham can be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. There's your mystery. And now God gives us the promise of this wonderful Holy Spirit. There's the seal of that covenant. The promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us, and we believe in Him. Now, let me read you Ephesians chapter 3 that I read to you a moment ago. Let me read that to you out of the Passion Translation. Will you allow me to do that? So be really plain that way, without the these and thous. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now His prisoner for the sake of all of you who are not Jews, so that you will hear the gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you. For this wonderful mystery, there it is, which I briefly described, was given to me by divine revelation, so that whenever you read it, you'll be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. That's you. Hallelujah. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to His sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Here's the secret. You want to know? It's not being held a secret for you. Here it is. The gospel of grace has made you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs. There's that. Of His promise through your union with Him. What qualifies you? What qualifies you to be a co-heir? Your union with Him. Okay? And you have now become members of His body. How many bodies?
One body.
One with the Anointed One. Woo! There it is. Now, Jesus hints about this in Matthew 13 and in Matthew 16 and in Mark 4. He gives a hint in talking with people about this. See, what happened prior to the day of Pentecost is not part of the mystery. Everything prior to the day of Pentecost, everything changed on that day. Everything prior to that is not part of the mystery. Okay? This is part of that mystery. We live in it. Gentiles were outsiders without a covenant. And I don't have time to go into those verses. Paul talks to us about that. One time strangers and aliens, right? But that's not us now. When our time is up, the Gentiles will be removed, it says. Gentile believers will be removed. The age of the Gentiles is up. The previous timeline continues on. Remember me teaching that a long time ago on the board over here? I drew it on the board. That reverts back. It's never been done away with. We were grafted in, and we have this little thing that was inserted in there. And that's the mystery. That's the church age. It's the age of grace. It's all you've ever known. But, yeah, praise God, right? It's all we've ever known, but that's where we live. And when we are raptured out of here, the other continues on. All right? So all this, he talks about all the streams are coming together. All of the events that occur after our time are well documented in Scripture. We know about what's going to happen after our timeline. You got Daniel's prophecies and all these other prophecies that talk about after us. But there wasn't a whole lot talked about our age. Okay? So Jesus was reconciling the world unto Himself during our age. And so we need to walk in the calling that we're called to. One body, all different streams now, but one body. Let me just show you what Brother Copeland said about it last Sunday, and then we'll go forward from there. Watch this.
There are those that are called and anointed to teach and preach praise and worship and glory. There are people called in that flow. And you hear people say, well, they're not in our camp. I tell you, I despise that term. I despise it. I was visiting with Kelly about it just in the last few days. And it's not in our camp. Come on. We don't have a camp. Absolutely, we don't have a camp. We're the kingdom of God. We are the church, glory to God. And thank God for people who know to what they're called. And stay in it, glory to God. And don't venture out of it. There are specialists. Now we've learned this. Let's take the most exact example and illustration that I know. There are general practitioners, general family medicine. Amen. That would be more like the pastor. But even a general practitioner knows to whom and to what he or she is called.
That's exactly right. We're the faith stream. We know that. But that doesn't make us better or worse than any other stream, because we're all one body. There's so many applications here I'd like to dig into with this, but for the sake of time, can't get into all of these today. You see Paul later talking about many and sick and weak among you, and some even sleep, because they don't rightly discern the body of Jesus Christ. You want to know why so many faith people are sick? It's not because you took communion unworthily. You did, because you're fighting against your own body. You are the infection in our own body. Oh my goodness. Now something? No, we're one body with one head. That was an Apostle Paul moment last Sunday. All right? You guys are quiet. Your philosophy is your way of thinking, right? So where was that phrase, our camp, taken from? Now, I read you the verses just a second ago. It talks about, I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles and all that. And he's making the differentiation between two groups. And you'll see it here. Paul was raised a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And we're not against the Jews, because that's another stream that we see coming back together. And it's at the end of the age the way it's supposed to be. You're starting to see Jews and born-again believers, evangelical Christians, walking hand in hand, arm in arm now. You're starting to see things. You saw the president move our embassy. Yeah. Yes. I didn't say the pastor in the White House. I said the president. Right. We didn't elect a pastor. We elected a president. But the president did what every president before him was supposed to do, and he moved it. And that was a tangible prophetic shift moment. Yes. That happened. And Michelle was sharing something with me just this week. You want to hear a teacher? That is a phenomenal teacher. A lot of the stuff I get from her. It's going on the record. Amen. She was talking about Ruth and Naomi. Remember that story? Ruth and Naomi. One is Jewish, one's not. Yes? And she loses her son. And she changes her name to Bitter. Mara, remember this? And she makes this statement to her, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go back. She was outside of the land. Come on, it's a type and shadow, guys. She's outside of the land, lost her favored son, and is coming back into her land. You see the return, Aliyah. She's coming back into her land, and she goes, no, I'm going with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She's a type of you and I, the mystery, the church. Your God is my God. Your people are my people. I'm with you. I'm not of your blood and DNA, but I'm of your spiritual DNA. See it? And she comes in and ends up marrying Boaz, right? A kinsman redeemer, who's the type and shadow of our Messiah, who's the head of both of them. I'm talking about streams coming together into one body. So as a believer, you can't be anti-Jewish. You're fighting yourself. You're fighting Jesus. You're fighting your covenant of Abraham, the blessing. You're fighting the blessing. Spirit of slap wants to come on me. when I meet those people. I'm serious. It's a fivefold ministry gift. It's okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right? I'm kidding. I've never hit anybody in a congregation yet. But here's, let me break this down to you where this came from. I remember when Dad Hagen first taught on our company or our camp. And I remember him trying to bring it back and saying, no, I can go to any church, any place that teaches Jesus and receive something. You spit out the sticks and you keep the hay. Did anybody ever hear him say that? Okay, let me show you. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I even ran with that. Listen, I even taught our camp. But if you're not careful with that, you'll get into pride. Acts chapter 4. And the Lord resists what? Oh, yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Acts chapter 4, verse 21. Now, this is after healing a guy. They have been arrested. Peter, who is this? Peter and John, right? Look at verse number 21. You there? So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. This was a notable miracle. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, here it is, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, or his anointed one, right? For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Notice the order of that. Notice the order of that. I remember years ago, I was a lot younger, and I had a big Star of David around my neck, and I was working an event at a Christian thing. Matter of fact, I was working a television event. I was in the process of trying to find out who I am and what I am. And I was endeavoring to convert to Judaism. Don't ever tell anybody that story much. Okay. But I tried, and they refused me. They kept refusing me. Gene, I'd go and like, what? What is it? And I remember working. It was a Christian event, and I was freelancing for it. And I've got a thing on my head, and the yarmulke, the kippah, and my Star of David was dangling out of my shirt. And this lady looks at me, Captain, and she goes, you killed Jesus. And I said, well, unless he died after 1960 something, I don't think so. I wasn't there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But for the first time, I heard a believer attack me, not knowing. Come on now. I heard it. I experienced some anti-Semitism firsthand. And I realized what I had grown up in all my life. Because I kind of knew who she was. But she didn't know who I was. She was part of my camp. She's Pentecostal. I knew who she was. I remembered her. She hadn't seen me for years, but I remembered her at our camp meetings and different things. And she told me that I killed Jesus. Interesting. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? And when they prayed, the place was shaken and they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke with the word of God with boldness. And Peter and John, they've been arrested for healing this man and using the name of Jesus. Now, let me help you with something to understand this one verse. There were two groups of people in Jerusalem at that time. And I would submit to you today, there are two groups of people, believers and non-believers. Okay, let me show you this. It gives a list of the notable people that were there in the threatening. Look at verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. This is after the miracle, right? And the number of men was about 5,000 believers. Look at this. Came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes. Very, very important that you understand that. Rulers, elders, scribes. What was Paul? He was one of those before he was Saul. The rulers, the elders, and the scribes. Let's go on. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas. Wait, we've heard of them before, haven't we? What did they do just a few weeks before this? Crucified Jesus. Look at this. And John and Alexander and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, look at this, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This is not Jews. This is not all the Jews. Come on. This is the political class. Rulers of the people. Who's the rulers of the people right now in America? Come on, somebody. Is it your neighbor next door? Unless you live next door to a congressman or a senator, no. The rulers of the people are our elected representatives, rulers of the people, and elders of Israel. All right? That's who's in the room. And it says that they went back, let me find that, and being let go, verse 23, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. I just described to you who all these people are. Yes? Being let go. There were only two groups. The ruling class and the believers. Being let go, they went back to the believers. You see it?
Yes.
Does anybody not see that? Their own company is believers. Let me help you with something. Your own company are believers. My goodness. When they went back to their own company, it was their own company. It was a group of believers. Lucifer always divides people into groups. And socialism is a perfect example of that. Dividing people and pitting them against each other. And we have allowed that in the body of Christ. And that's why the prophet said what he said on Sunday. If I had the time to do it, I'd show you. I would drill down on this and show you where Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, many are sick and feeble because you're not rightly dividing the body, right? And we're all one body with one head. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're my brother. Amen. Whether you speak in tongues or not, but we know what stream we are. We're the faith stream, right? We know what we are, so we're staying with what we are, what we're called to be. We are specialists in that regard, but we're all part of one body, and all of these different streams are coming together to make a river, to make a flood. And when the body of Christ, when the world sees the true believers rise up, that's what they're calling out for. That's what they're looking for. All right? So when I return to that, I return to my own group. When tongue talkers versus non-tongue talkers, faith camp denomination. No, it's referring to believers and unbelievers. Division has made us and kept us broke and weak as a body of believers. We're one body. In our age, the Son of God in his person on the earth is no longer needed. Did you hear what I just said to you? In our age, in this mystery that I defined for you just a moment ago, the time that we live in, it's actually, Jesus said, it's good that I go away. That doesn't sound right, does it? That really sounded wrong to them. What? What are you talking about? Because they're ready for him to set the kingdom up right now because they don't understand the time that we live in. But he said, it's good that I go away because if I don't go away, I cannot send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. And so in the age that we live in, the Son of God in his person on the earth is no longer needed. Because his body, stands in his place with full authority and full power. My God. And when you realize that, then the body becomes effective in the government. The body becomes effective in the school. The body becomes effective in the media. Amen. See, Satan thought he was rid of Jesus. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he's like, good riddance. Here we go. Look at that. He beat me up, but he's gone. Wonderful. We're going to have some fun again, guys. Right? Right? A few days later, all of a sudden, there's 120 Jesuses in Jerusalem. And by the end of the day, there were 3,120 of them. And just a few weeks later, in Acts chapter 4, there's over 5,000 Jesuses. He had to pull devils out of retirement. And if you'll read Acts chapter 4, in that place, it says, and none of them lacked for anything because they were of one body. Woo! That's operating in the blessing. See, our mystery time, our age that we live in, includes some really neat benefits that were not available to the time previous to us or to the time that will follow us. You want me to share them with you? I'll share them with you. Number one, we have the new birth and a recreated spirit. Woohoo! Really quiet. You have the new birth.
Yes.
Jesus hinted to it, and he goes, how do I be born again? Remember this guy? Now, going back into my mother's womb, how many of you have the new birth? You have a recreated spirit that never existed before. That was not available. Now, Abraham believed by faith, but it was accounted unto him as righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the blessing of Abraham is not accounted to you. It is yours.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Gene, I may take off in a second running. I might go. You have the recreated spirit. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit could come upon David or Samson or someone else, but not in them. And now he's in you. Is he in you?
Yes.
How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Come on, somebody. How do you know? Don't just say, yeah, he is. How do you know? You've received him. Can I convince you you're not filled with the Holy Spirit?
No.
I can't.
No.
Because you know. Okay. Now, not only that, you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit for power. You have the power gifts available to you. You will receive power after that, the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And you can speak in tongues right now. Yes, you could do spiritual warfare in the spirit right now in this room, right where you're at in your room. You could do it right now, right? You don't need to work nothing up. You don't got to ask him to come. Holy Spirit, come. He's already came. And the sound of that rushing mighty wind, you know what that was? You know what that was? That was the entire power of God and all of the angelic forces whoosh, coming into this earth. I mean, everything's changed, including angels. Woo, glory to God. Because they are ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. I read it to you just a second ago about the heirship, right? That's the mystery. Here it is. So the infilling of the spirit of power. The unified church of redeemed Jews and Gentiles. Paul writes about this in Galatians. Man, we don't have the time to dig into this. There's therefore now neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond or free, nothing. There's nothing, your race, your color, your gender, nothing to hold you back from walking in the fullness of the blessing in this body of Christ. See, that's another division. He got away from all of it. So we are part of the body. Every believer is a child of the Father. Oh, goodness. It's not dependent on mom and daddy's DNA. There was no ancestry DNA back then, right? Now we have Jesus' DNA.
Amen.
He is my Father. Now, here's something that was not available. Individual priesthood of every believer. See, this is why we have a new and better covenant established on better promise. Is that all the time I've got? My goodness, let's get going. I didn't get finished. Individual priesthood of believers. Listen to this. Here's another thing. The spiritual gifts are available to all believers. Brother Copeland talked about that last Sunday. Spiritual gifts. And here's the last one that makes us totally different than the time set before us. As believers, as the body, you are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kinsman redeemer is going to call one day and you're out of here. See, our sins, let me help you with something to understand, because people get lost in terminology. Our sins were judged in Jesus. They were forgiven when you believed. Amen. Well, my sins are forgiven. I can do anything I want. No, you can't. Your sins were judged in Jesus by the Father. They are forgiven when you believe. And that makes you part of my company. You got it? Jesus prayed for this. That's what unifies us, guys. He prayed for this in John chapter 17. One of the last instruction sections, that John 15, 16, 17, 8, that part right there is the last instructions Jesus had. And he said a prayer, and I love this prayer. You ready? Let me just read it to you. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's our prayer. Glorify your Son so that I can glorify you. All right? And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou hast gave me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them to me, and have kept thy word. Look at that. Verse 7. Now, they that have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of you, of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you gave unto me, and they've received them, and known surely that I come out of thee. Look at verse 8 again. That thou believest that thou didst send me. They believe it. Okay? You're a believer, yes? Verse 9. I pray for them. Here's the prayer again. I pray not for the world. Notice the groups he's putting us into. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You want to know how to glorify God? You want to know the glory? You want to know what the glory is? You're the glory. My God. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That they may be what? One as we are one. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world. You want to know why they hate you? Not because of you, baby. It's not because of you. It's because of Jesus in you. Because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. So we're faith people and we're also word people. That's right?
Yes.
Okay. Where am I at? Verse 18. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Stop right there. Hear that? He just prayed for you and you and you and you and you and you. How did you come to belief? Through the word of the people that he taught, that he's praying for right there. You came through to belief in Jesus through the apostles' words and the disciples' words. Taught maybe by Billy Graham or somebody else, but you came through those words. So he just prayed for you. Do you realize Jesus prayed for you?
Yes.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word.
Yes.
That they may be one. There it is. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you've sent me. When they see the church walk in unity and love with each other. That the world may believe you have sent me. That's it. That's when they're going to believe. And the glory which thou hast given me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I'm hearing a theme. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Look at that. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these I have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Jesus' prayer for you. Isn't that beautiful? I was going to read this to you out of the Passion Translation. Let me hit this real fast. My beloved brothers and sisters, the passionate desire of my heart, verse 10, my constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. That's in Romans chapter 10. I skipped over. I turned the page too far. I'm not going to get to Romans chapter 10 to show you this today, but that's what Brother Copeland closed with yesterday. So I wanted to show you and drill down a little bit about what the prophet said to us Sunday so that we can grab those words and live victoriously in life. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can walk free from sickness and disease, so that our faith is not hindered. Because how does faith work?
By love.
By love. Right? I used to confess it over myself all the time because I kind of wasn't loving for a long time because of hurt, religious hurt. I would just say, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart all the time. I would say it every day. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have the love of God in me. The moment I believed on you, your love entered me. And now I'm learning. See what I'm doing? I'm confessing by faith what I actually am. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. The love of God has been shed in my heart. So I changed it. I wrote it down and I looked at myself in the mirror every morning and say, I'm a love machine.
That's right.
As an old song. I'm just a love machine. And I don't work for nobody but him. Come on now. I did that for me. I am a love machine. And so when somebody, and somebody will, because the enemy's going to make certain of it, somebody's going to cut me off on the highway. Idiots, bunch of idiots. I don't know how so many people got a license and don't know a single thing about driving, right? No, I'm learning now to tap into that love part of me. Father, bless them wherever they need to go. Protect them, because the way they're driving, it don't look good. So put angels around him right now. You know what I mean? I'm changing that in me, because I want revival, Gene, in my life. And it begins with me. It doesn't begin with, if we could get all of our church together. No, it begins with me. And it begins with you, and it begins with you, and it begins with you. And you get that revival spark in you. You be the one. It will happen, because fire catches.
That's right.
If you're in one of those Mark Hankins services and nothing's happening in your section, go get into the section where everybody's popping, right? Don't be the old maid popcorn that doesn't get popped. Be the one that gets in there and pops. If you catch on fire for God, I'm telling you, everybody around you will come watch you burn.
and we know what stream we're in. We know what part of the stream we're in, and we're part of a big river called the body of Christ, and I love my company, don't you?
Amen.
I love what we are. I love who we are, and I love the body of Christ, and I bless every church in this city. I pray that every single Bible-believing saved, believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, church will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, people will fill those churches next Sunday in the mighty name of Jesus. You'll see revival in America like you've never seen when we start operating as one body in love with our Savior. Amen? And in love with one another. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
I didn't finish. I'm sorry. I'll see you next time. Here, Pastor George in just a moment.